Blog Talk Radio.
Average Joe. And here he is, Average Joe. Wait a minute. I am Average Joe. Ah, man, another Sunday. Here in the studio. Being Average Joe. Being average. Are you average? I know some of you are above average, and I'll leave it at that. We'll go to the other side. Today we're going to talk about truth, and we're not talking about truth as in truth or false. We're talking about ultimate truth, just to clarify that. We've talked a little bit about, reality and the state of what is in some past shows, but we're going to talk about that a little bit more today. I've been thinking about that because... the stuff that's been going on in our world right now, and I'm going to get into why that is. I don't want to steal my own thunder, but I'll tell you why I was inspired for this particular topic today. I've probably told you before, a lot of my inspiration comes when I'm either in the car driving, because I do that a lot, on my job, I'm usually out on the road somewhere, or when I'm out on the lawn on my lawnmower, because when I'm on my lawnmower, I don't have a radio, I don't listen to music, anything like that. I'm just in the zone. I'm kind of on autopilot, and I don't even hardly think about what I'm doing, because I've done it basically, as long as I've been able to reach the pedals on a lawnmower, I've been mowing grass. So it comes about as natural to me as eating. Good thing it doesn't make me fat like eating does. Before we get into that, I hope everybody's had a good week. We're going to talk about this day in history. 1976. Now, I am I'm a pretty big movie buff. I think you guys have probably figured that out by now. And this is something that I did not know, but the movie Saturday Night Fever, I'm pretty sure most of you have probably seen that. It was done in 1977, but what I'm getting at here is in 1976, New York Magazine published the story that becomes Saturday Night Fever. I did not know this at all. Disco as a musical style predated the movie Saturday Night Fever by perhaps as many as 5 years. But disco as an all-consuming cultural phenomenon might never have happened without the 1977 film and its multi-platinum soundtrack featuring such era-defining hits as the Bee Gees' Staying Alive and Yvonne Elliman's If I Can't Have You. What is absolutely certain is that Saturday Night Fever would never have been made were it not for a magazine article detailing the struggles and dreams of a talented young Italian-American disco dancer and his scruffy entourage in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. That article, The Tribal Rights of the New Saturday Night, by journalist Nick Kahn, was published on this day in 1976 in the June 7th issue of New York Magazine. So I'm not going to, read all the details about that, but that is very interesting. I did not know that it was based on that. And then if you read further into the article, and like I say, I'm not going to read the whole article, but basically, the story was fabricated, but I think it might have been based on some truth. There never was really that actual character never existed. But okay, so let's move on. Before I start, there's my refreshing Diet Mountain Dew. Wouldn't want to disappoint. I know I've forgotten it a few times, but today I have it, so you will have your caffeinated average Joe as usual. I will not be falling asleep at the microphone. Sometimes I do coffee, but most of the time it's a refreshing Diet Mountain Dew, especially in the summertime. Truth. If you saw my promotion on this show regarding the title, the subtitle is "What Is," or even if you look at the title on Average Joe Connection here, "What Is." So when I'm talking about truth, or what I'm going to be talking about with truth, is not, like I said, not truth or false, or that kind of truth, like tell me the truth. When I talk about truth, I'm going to be talking about ultimate truth. Do I know what ultimate truth is? Of course not. I'm a human. Ultimate truth is what really is. And that can get to be really deep pretty quick. We've talked about in past shows about reality. So just for an example of how ultimate truth can be a little tricky. If you remember, we were talking about the double slit experiment, and we were talking about our reality being a virtual reality, which is a very real possibility. And if that's the case, then our reality and our truth, so to speak, is not even real in a ultimate truth sense. It's just as true to us from our perception. And so from our perception, it is ultimate truth because it ultimately it is what is. But if we look at it from the perspective of, let's say, the programmer of this virtual reality, which in a perspective sense would be God, even if it's another mortal, it would be, and I know I'm getting really slip sliding here, so far as, you know, I don't want to challenge anybody's belief system. That's not what I'm here for. We're not here to talk about religion. I don't think this concept takes away, the fact of God regardless, because God, in my definition, God is all that there is, all that there has been, and all that there will be. And I think no matter what your faith or philosophy or viewpoint is, that you would have to agree with that. Even those of you that say you don't believe in God, I believe you would have to agree with that. It's just all about definition and semantics. But again, I digress. What I'm getting at is, with everything that's been going on, and we all want to be right. That's a typical human characteristic. That's one of our flaws, I think, is that we want to be right. We want to be, we don't want to be wrong about things, because when we're wrong, then that challenges our belief system. And I'm talking about the important things. So what are the important things ultimately? I think that, by the way, if you want to call in, and forgive me for not giving you this sooner, it should be on the page, but 914-219-0884. Feel free to call in and, you know, you can tell me I'm an idiot if you like. I'm used to that, but I can take it. Or if you got something you just want to add or you agree with me, I mean, I'm happy to hear that too, because I want to be right. I'm a human. I just see a lot of preaching, you know, going on these days from, and I don't mean the kind in church, people's perspectives and belief system, I guess, if you will. And it really raises my eyebrows as to how shallow our society is, and how we only we think that only the things that we can see in front of us and feel, you know, are what's important. And I just like if I mean, and I know, you know, people are not gonna. I guess I shouldn't be disappointed, but I am. Here's another perspective, I think.
Hello.
Mr. Scott.
Sorry, hey, how are you?
I'm okay.
Sorry,
how are you?
Preamble to that.
It was all the good stuff, man. I'm not repeating it.
I hear you. No need to.
How you doing, man?
Good. Hope you are.
So far. So we're talking about truth today. And not in the sense of truth or false, but, you know, like ultimate truth.
Yeah, no need for a deep topic.
Yeah, we're getting in a little, you know, kind of touching base on some of the reality discussion that we had, you know, several months ago. And my inspiration, if you will, has just been that the pettiness of our society these days and the things that the masses think are dwell on as being so important, and it makes me think about that it just really doesn't seem like anybody's thinking about the big picture of what. And I certainly don't claim to know, you know, what the big picture is, but I just kind of think that our human pettiness is probably has little to no effect on it.
Right. I think you're probably on something.
So one thing I was thinking about, morality. We use that morality is we use that as an accepted standard of right and wrong. If we do that, and well, we do that. I said do. I cannot take myself serious. We guide our moral compass, if you will, is what we use as a what our, us as a society accept as right and wrong, morality. And then, of course, the other side of that coin, to be immoral would be not conforming to those accepted standards of morality. So, you know, I guess we can probably use killing someone, our fellow man, as an immoral act, especially if it's, you know, just for the sake of killing somebody and it's not in self-defense. Would you agree to that?
Well, yeah, I would, of course, but I guess it's all about what you consider what your morality is. You would think
exactly.
There's an empirical, yeah, you'd think there's an empirical benchmark we can all check in with. And there kind of is, the way I think about it. But, you know, certain cultures and societies have different mores and however they think about things. But
right.
Ultimately, some level, there's got to be a little better standard.
So who do you think sets that standard, or what sets that standard of morality? Who defines morality?
I don't know. Maybe we define ourselves by the morality that's imposed on us by our society. And I like not to think that, but that might be a lot of it. But in other words,
well, you know, you make a very good point.
Well, I mean, just the way we were
the
raised.
The reality that's presented to us, what we perceive as right and wrong.
Right. That's,
is that what you're saying? Am I reading that right?
Oh, yeah. Black and white to some of us might not be, to all of us. I mean,
well,
we seem to have a tribal consciousness of, you know, cautionary tales of you can't covet your neighbor's wife or kill your brother and stuff like that, which is very good.
Yeah, I mean, it holds us together as a society.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
It holds us together as a society. I mean, if we just had everybody was just doing what they felt like doing, you know, we wouldn't survive as a species, not likely very long.
Right.
So do you think that's an accident, or do you think that that's in not to challenge the creationist that might be listening, but do you think that's an evolutionary thing that we've developed in order to survive?
Yes. I have no idea.
Well, I agree. I mean, I agree.
Ways.
Even you know, I mean, I feel like I mean, I am. I'm an unconventional creationist myself, but in that in so far as intelligent design and how we got here, but. I think it's a little more complex. It's not so simple that any of us moral, or not moral, but mortal humans can ever describe or understand.
Yeah, about that.
So before you said what you said,
though. Which came first. Go ahead.
No, finish your sentence.
No, I think I was just trying to, you know, talking about which morals we hold dear to us and therefore act on and therefore define ourselves by are pretty variable. You like to think there's an empirical truth above it all, and there is, I think. I can't define it, but it's kind of along the lines of don't think what you believe and never, and the inverse is also true. But just be thinking. Doesn't matter how you think, as long as you think.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, like I always think of that it's kind of bred into us because, like, if you see most humans that aren't insane,
right.
If you see a child that's hurting or, pardon me?
So 20%? I'm sorry.
20% of what?
Humans that aren't insane.
Oh, yeah. But if you see a child that's hurting or an animal that's hurting, you know, a dog or whatever, you know, mostly, you know, especially domesticated animals, we all have a certain something in us that makes us have apathy for that, you know, child or animal, that innocent being, and we have that feeling that we want to do what's right and help that being. Whether it helps us or not, but collectively as a species or as a race. Before you said what you said about what's been imposed upon us, it kind of makes me. Did you ever see that movie, The Truman Show?
I can't remember.
It was
Harry Truman, or I don't remember.
No, it was not Truman, the famous Truman. It was and not Truman Capote either. Jim Carrey actually played the part, but it was like he was in a TV show that he was unaware of his whole life, and people were watching him on camera. And he was in a manufactured world. Everybody in his world were actors, and the things that happened to him were written, you know, into the show, and it's just people watched because they wanted to see how he reacted. And
I remember that. I did not see it, but it was even before reality TV was real popular.
And the director, but one of the comments the director said about the reality was that, you know, we want to accept the reality in which we are presented.
Oh, yeah.
So that kind of falls along, not the desire to believe it, but the fact that we do believe and hold on to the reality that we're presented, regardless of, you know, even those of us that question that reality, when it really comes down to it, our day-to-day world is still that reality.
Right.
Would you agree with that?
I would.
Okay. I'm trying not to preach here. I'm giving my opinion and just trying to be, you know. So, but when I ask about who defines morality, you know, before you said what you said, I hadn't even thought about that, or at least in that context, was that, you know, God defines that reality. And I say that in no matter what your perspective or opinion about who or what God is, the God, you know, the God is everything there is, everything there will be, everything there has been. So kind of the monitor of the universe, as it were. What about that?
The higher power. It's kind of hard not to make a case for he or she, like you say, whomever they might be.
So you kind of touched on the fact that...
World. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, since you were talking about the morality in which we are presented is what we accept as right and wrong. So is it fair to say that right and wrong is based on our culture?
That's fascinating. I don't think so. Again, there's some empirical stuff going on. I can't, you know, define either now or earlier. It's kind of like there was a phrase once upon a time, nothing is good or bad, but thinking makes it so. I don't know who said that. Can't begin to quote it. And I thought like that for a long time, or tried to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I realized, you know, that's not right at all. It doesn't matter what type of social mores or anything you're taught. Like you say, when you see something wrong, you feel it in your gut, and you might have to question the paradigm of justice or whatever you were raised under.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, I guess so if we were just like robots and we just, the only thing we did was like in some bizarre science fiction story, all we did was sleep, get up, eat, and have no interaction with each other whatsoever other than eating and breathing and drinking water and then going back to sleep, there would be no need for morality. Would you agree with that?
Let me answer that two ways. First of all, it sounds good to me. Sign me up for that. But, no.
Wouldn't it be boring?
I see how you try to remove that from any consequences, but it'd take a while to figure it out. I volunteered to live like that for a month, and I'll get back to you. There'll be a conflict somewhere.
I don't think I'd want to live like that.
I can handle that. But having nothing more to do than that, there'd be a conflict at some level. If not, I would create one, I'm sure.
Yeah, somebody would. That's what I'm saying, if that were even possible.
Right. That's a good point.
I guess
at some point
there has to be some kind of interaction to procreate. You know, we still got to have more humans to replace the ones that fall off.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, to the subject at hand, or the main topic, well, we have just run through this time. I really appreciate you bouncing off of this, or letting me bounce these ideas off of you, and you giving me some good ones back.
Same here, man.
This time has gone by quickly.
I didn't realize how deep you're going again tonight. Nothing
so,
less than the truth.
What we perceive as reality, that's our truth, versus ultimate truth. You know, our truth is what we are presented, like you said, on our daily basis. But if we compare that to ultimate truth, which is what really is, what in reality, what we have no clue about, again, you know, that reflects back to all that there is and God. And I'm certainly, again, not preaching here, but just, you know, defining it as such, all that there is, all that there is. I am.
Press on. I was about to say, raise heck.
So what about...
Appropriate.
Raise heck.
Yeah.
So, existentialism. I'm just going to read this straight off the definition of Google. Existentialism, a philosophical way of talking. It sees humans with will and consciousness as being in a world of objects which do not have those two parts. And when I first read that sentence, pardon me?
I'm sorry. It's a philosophical way of talking?
Well, it's a philosophical way of talking.
Okay, cool. Well, that's true.
Thinking. It
cool.
sees humans with will and consciousness as being in a world of objects which do not have those two parts. In other words, the objects have no will or consciousness. Many religions and philosophies say that human life has a meaning or a purpose. I'm gonna be a rebel here for a minute. I'm gonna say that that's not necessarily true.
You might be exactly right. I don't know either, but I've leaned that way for a while. I'm happy
well,
to be
I mean,
here
again,
on this experiment, slinging through the universe.
Well, and that's here. Just it, you know, experiment. If we go back to virtual, this being a virtual reality, you know, somebody's basically playing a game.
Well, that's it. It's our reality. It may or may not fit in the grand scheme of anything. And that upsets some people. But we have this highly functioning reality right here. We might as well go ahead and, you know, hang out with it. Just
well,
try not to get too upset by it and try to learn what it teaches us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, whoever the programmer is, did a good job.
At least
from our perspective. We think we're special. And
yeah.
We think this is a complex world. But it's all perspective.
I am.
You know, compared to what?
I clearly am. No, my life has a reason. I was just trying to go along with you to make you and the rest of the multitudes feel okay. Yeah, I have no idea, brother. But it's good to hear
I love
you
it,
thinking
man.
Like you do. Again, not
well.
I like the way you think. I like the fact that you think.
Well, that's all I'm doing. Again, I'm not on here to challenge anybody's belief system. But, you know, I just like, you know, I think of these things, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that thinks of these things. I'm positive, as a matter of fact, because all of this is not certainly not original thought or ideas, but,
right.
You know, I don't know that there is any original thought anymore.
Might not be.
So, I have to say, at least I have to do my so, you know. I can't get out of the habit of that. All right, well, we have run out of time.
Good segue.
I can't believe that we didn't have a slew of people calling in, getting in on this conversation.
Well, now, I think the conversation was so enthralling that I'm not sure you gave the number to which to call.
Well, it's on the webpage.
Oh, okay.
And I did give it in the beginning.
Okay.
So, you know, my audience hopefully is not a bunch of first graders and they're web savvy. So,
never know.
Can do a, watch as Howard Stern and insult the audience. But maybe that's what I need to do. I need to start poking at everybody out there to get them to call in and argue with me.
It's probably a good marketing technique, but there's lots of poking going on. Always has been. I don't know. But
yeah. But
it's
anyway.
Been done.
Mr. Scott, thank you once again.
Thank you, brother. Good to hear from you.
Likewise. Likewise. Hold it down up in the hills, and I hope to talk to you before next Sunday.
Sounds good.
I hope we get to talk next Sunday too, but we'll figure out what the next topic is.
Cool. We'll be standing by.
All right. See you then.
All right, man.